Second hour of the show, Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3. The game brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk some college football. Also, Frazier's Files. Our second edition of Frazier's Files.
Are we sticking with that name?
Yeah, well, why not? Yeah.
Why not? Right, we can cool take the that, asterisk yeah. off it.
I have a segment for me at 11:30. I haven't come up with a name for it yet, so we'll have to figure that out.
Oh, we got some.
Yeah.
Lyman's
Lessons.
Lyman's Letters.
I teach something.
Lessons.
Jake's Journals.
I was going to say, like, liaison or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll figure something out. Anyway, it's time for the question of the day. Jake Wallman wants to know, what are the best and worst feelings in sports? Plenty of good options out there. We've got a couple of texts on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025 is how you can chime in. Devin and Dixon says the best feeling in sports is beating your hated rival in a big game.
Yes.
The worst feeling, making it all the way to the championship and not winning it all. Both good. Ben says for players, the best is winning that first championship. Worst is falling super far in the draft unexpectedly. I think that's a good one.
Ask Shador.
Sliding in the draft. For fans, beat your decades-long bad team finally gets a ring like the Cavaliers. Worst is having a bad owner. That is a good one as well.
Because we all know how it feels.
Right. Well, I mean, I had so many friends growing up outside D.C. that were Commanders, Redskins fans, and Dan Snyder made their lives horrible for years. So I know that that's not a good one. So good ones from Ben there. You guys have any thoughts? Best feeling, worst feeling in sports?
I'll go specifically for college sports. Walking in and just hearing that fight song for the first time just gets me juiced. Or for me, walking into Rupp Arena and just seeing that court for the first time, special. I now have a piece of Rupp Arena floor hanging on my wall now. It's fantastic. The worst feeling, I would counter with losing to a heated rival.
Yeah, like, losing to your rival's tough.
Oh, especially, I mean, if you got friends that are fans of your rival and they let you hear about it, like I have a lot of Tennessee fans, they let me hear about it, even though the odds are not in their favor in a certain sport with an orange ball. But if you just hear in the talk after you lose, that's probably the worst thing.
Right, especially in football when you don't get another chance for a year. Like
football, I'm used to it because Kentucky's so bad.
Right. But basketball, usually you play twice. So even if you lose the first one, it's like, all right, we'll get you back in 2 weeks. Or maybe I'll see you in the SEC
Depends.
Tournament.
Like, Kentucky only plays Louisville once a year in basketball.
That's a good point.
But, like, conference rivals, yes.
Right, conference rivals. Like, when Virginia Tech plays UVA, we usually lose in basketball. But, you know, there's usually a second opportunity. Football, although I don't know what it feels like outside of 1 year to lose to Virginia in football, you have to wait a whole year to get back at them.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the worst feeling is knowing darts is not a sport. That's number one on the list. I'd
sink it in, pal.
It's going to have to sit in.
I love how Frazier has just resigned to...
Don't worry.
Like, we're the ones who said it, so he's just like, yep, it's not a sport.
Well, don't worry. I'm getting back talk on saying esports isn't a sport. Apparently, if I sit at home and play Call of Duty, it makes me a tenured war veteran.
Yeah, I don't think that's possible. The best feeling in sports, it's not really, you know, exact to the point of like, oh, beating your rival, whatever. For me, it's as a personal experience getting to go to a stadium. Like,
seeing it for the first time.
Yeah, like I've been to Busch Stadium. I've obviously been to Nissan Stadium, but I've yet to go to Wrigley Field. Well, I've been to Wrigley Field, Fenway Park, Cowboys Stadium. I want to go to all those. And so for me, having that first feeling of walking into a sports venue I've never been into, that's the feeling I get. It's just that dopamine level is just
another one is
this world.
Another one is walking into enemy territory and coming out of the win.
Yeah.
Did that this year in basketball, I went to TBA and walked out
Food
with a win.
City Center.
Stop it.
It'll always be TBA.
This guy's claiming he'd beat my ass in Call of Duty. I don't play Call of Duty, so
there you go. He practices daily.
Okay. Okay.
I would say, as a Hokie fan, the best feeling in sports is jumping to Enter Sandman. The worst feeling is 3 minutes later when they actually kick the ball off.
I want to experience Enter Sandman so bad, though.
It really is one...
This guy's trash talking.
I don't
me
know
about,
what's going on in
I don't,
the tech side.
I don't know what. This guy's trying to end my life in Call of Duty. I don't even play Call of Duty.
Oh, boy.
It really is. Like, it is an experience I think everybody should have. Enter Sandman, night game. Hey, go to the Vandy game this year. It'll be good. That's a 7:30 kick, I think. In all seriousness, I think the worst feeling in sports, I know Devin and Dixon said getting to the championship and losing. I think the worst feeling in sports as a fan is getting to the game before the championship and losing. Like, you get to the conference championship.
So close, yet so far.
And it's like when the Titans lost to the Chiefs back in 2020, 2019 season, that you were up 10, second quarter, you're like 35 minutes of game time away from going to a Super Bowl, and then you lose. Like, I think that's the worst feeling as a fan. Because if you get to the Super Bowl and lose, at least you played in the last game, and you get that 2 weeks of buildup heading to the Super Bowl. But you lose all that if you lose in the conference championship game.
I think as a fan and also as a player.
This guy says he's outside the window with a PS5.
Oh. All right. Well, as I was saying.
Try it.
I think, as a fan and also as a player when it comes to football specifically.
Oh.
When I was playing in high school with Father Ryan, I just go back and look, like, there's that one play when you're going up against your rival you know could have been a different outcome. Like, there's a guy wide open, like, on the left side of the hash, and you just, like, you could easily throw it to him, and it would have been a different outcome. I think for me, that's the regret of looking back and saying, yeah, that could have been different.
Yeah, that is a good point. Devin and Dixon texting in says he's still not over the 2017 Cup Finals, boys. Yeah,
me neither.
No, it's tough. I think for me, maybe it's better because the only time I've seen one of my teams in the championship, the Tigers got swept. So it wasn't like it was heartbreaking for me. I knew it was over after game three.
Ripped a Band-Aid off.
Another one, a buzzer beater is an electric feeling.
Right, or a devastating feeling, depending on what side you're on.
I experienced the good side twice this year with Otega Owe against Oklahoma.
For sure. Winning on a buzzer beater and losing on a buzzer beater, it's opposite ends of the spectrum.
It is crushing.
Jake Wallman, you asked the question. What's your answer?
So I got a couple ones on both the good and the bad. The good, you being the only person that feels like your team can win a game. And then they go out and they win. Yeah. Like, everybody just counts you out. Everybody picks against you, and then you go out and you win. So that's one. I do got to follow up with walking. You know, like, you always remember your first experience in a stadium. My first experience at a Tennessee game was 2007 against Vanderbilt, oddly enough.
Want to feel old?
Yeah.
I was 3.
Yeah, that does make me feel old. Thanks, Connor.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And then the worst, when you take off that jersey for the last time in high school.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a tough one.
I didn't get to experience that one, unfortunately. I didn't get to play sports in high school.
See, for me,
I wasn't an athlete. I was a tenured war veteran.
But you know what? Your brain is in A1 condition.
Thank you.
For some people.
I was a manager, but I wasn't athletic enough to get on the field.
I hated my senior season of baseball so much that I wasn't really sad to take it off for the last time.
Oh, thank God.
We went 3-17 and, like, didn't like my coach. I was like, you know what, I'm done. So I didn't hate that moment that much. But the year before, we did lose in the playoffs, and that was a tough feeling.
Yeah, for me, it hurt a little bit because there is, you know, when you're in grade school, you play with all your buddies, right?
Yeah.
And then you get to high school, and for me, you know, went to St. Edward's, then went to Father Ryan, so it's like a small-knit community, you know. And I had probably about 5 guys from my grade school that we all ended up playing over at Father Ryan. And senior year, when we all just stopped playing, we all looked at each other like, yeah, this is the last time actually going to be playing with each other.
Yeah.
Because we had a really good team in grade school. Like, we were winning championships or being there at the very top.
CYO football, baby.
Oh, no. This is parochial league football. and I've mentioned it before, it was the real deal on Saturdays. It was
better. Miss parochial football.
Yeah. It was literally college game day before college game day.
That's 8 a.m. on a Saturday.
Yes. Top fields, 5th and 6th graders. Bottom fields, prime time, 7th and 8th graders.
But prime time.
I did experience
11 a.m.
That sadness on some level. I was a manager for football for 3 years. So I got really, really close with a lot of them.
Oh boy.
An effing youngster. Yes, sir, I am. I was manager for 3 years, so I got really, really close with that team and those coaches, and we got to the semifinals of the state championship my senior year of high school, and just got blown out by Macaulay. That was a tough feeling, being on that field. I cried watching all those guys, especially the seniors that I was, you know, went through the whole process with. Those guys, very upset. It was a long, plus it was in Memphis, so it was a long bus ride home. But yeah, that is a tough feeling.
What is the best and worst feeling in sports? Let us know. That's our question of the day. 615-737-1025. We'll move on, but we will get to your answers if you want to send them in. When we come back, we're going to get into some college football. We are just about 2 months away from week zero. Who could compete for a national championship? Who could win the Heisman? And much more. We'll get into that next. You're on Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Body Rock. Plank, lunge, twist, and push your limits with Body Rock's dynamic muscle-sculpting Pilates-inspired classes designed to rock your body to the core. Get half off a $50 gift card now at thegamenashville.com/deals to use at any of Body Rock's 4 Nashville locations while supplies last. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman for his company on this Saturday morning. Let's stick with our question of the day for a second here. What are the best and worst feelings in sports? We go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Zach in Bellevue is on the line. And actually, give us 1 second. We had a lot of good answers there in terms of best and worst in sports. I thought the best one was that from Ben, saying that for fans, having a bad owner, because that does change a lot for a team. And now we do have Zach in Bellevue with our question of the day. Zach, good morning. What do you think are the best and worst feelings in sports?
Well, good morning, guys. Personally, for me, I wrestled at Father Ryan myself and won 2 state titles at heavyweight. But my senior year in 08, we went ahead and we were going to beat Baylor in the individual tournament. And all I had to do was pin this kid from Briarcrest. No, it was St. Benedict, actually. And I had already pinned him at the Father Ryan tournament earlier that year, so I was like, okay, I got this. I ended up majoring him, and we got into a statistical tie, 237.5 points to 237.5. And, I mean, I got my own, but it was like I let the team down. So that's my personal bittersweet, man. That's a great topic. Appreciate y'all. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Zach.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Zach. That's a cool story.
Amateur wrestling? Real sport.
Yep, that's a sport.
Oh, no. Wrestling at Father Ryan, it's a religion.
Oh, I know.
It's not just the Catholicism. No, wrestling is up there with...
Oh, it's big time over
Pat
there.
Pat Simpson should be, if not, in the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That man is goated.
Amateur wrestling is very underrated.
Yeah, I didn't get into wrestling very much until college. I had to cover Virginia Tech's wrestling program as part of one of my jobs.
You would think it's a bunch of meatheads slapping each other around, but there's actually so much strategy involved.
Right. Once you learn about the sport, and you know, if you're just watching it and don't understand the scoring system and all the strategy that goes into it, then you probably aren't going to enjoy it. But once you start to learn about it, it is really fun to watch. And I find myself pretty much every year watching the national championships.
Yeah.
Mike Cousins usually calls those on ESPN, and he does a great job. The Hokies they're not like Penn State territory, but Makai Lewis won a national championship my freshman year there. So that was, I think, only the 3rd or 4th individual national champion that the Hokies have had. So that was cool.
Correct myself. Pat Simpson, he is in the Sports Hall of Fame.
Oh, he is?
TWSAA Sports Hall of Fame, that is.
Awesome.
Great guy, by the way. He's one of the reasons why I continued playing football. So thank you, Pat Simpson. The man.
Any, If anybody else has stories, best, worst feelings in sports, we'd love to hear from you. 615-737-1025. Did want to get into college football a little bit. We talked about the SEC back on Tuesday when we filled in for Chase and Big Joe. But just on the grand scheme of college football as we head into another year, who do we think can compete for a national championship this year? I think there's a couple of obvious answers when it comes to the SEC and the Big Ten, but are there any schools that maybe we haven't seen in this conversation before that could find their way into the college football playoff in 2025-26?
So we're doing way too early national champion picks right
now? Yeah, why not?
I mean, the obvious answers are like, you know, Texas, Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon maybe. Man, you know what? I'll stick with my guns. I think South Carolina's going to have a good year this year.
Yeah. Wow.
Not saying they're going to win a national championship.
But that's a team that could end up being towards the top of the SEC.
Yeah. I mean, we did, what was it, last week we talked about them? Or Tuesday on Chase and Big Joe. Oh, I mean, I could see them going 10-2, 9-3. I think they're going to have a good year. I think they're going to sneak into the playoff, too.
I'm going to go the opposite end of the Palmetto State. Give me Clemson.
Mm.
Like, Cade Klubnick.
They've returned a lot this
right,
year, too.
Right, and they've got two possible top 10 picks on their defensive line. And Cade Klubnick, even though he hasn't been, you know, Deshaun Watson type good for Clemson, he's been way better than DJU was.
Yeah.
And I don't
know. Whose name I now know how to say.
Uiagalelei.
There's another Uiagalelei on Oregon.
Yep. Hmm. Linebacker? Pass rusher?
Yes.
Yeah, his brother. But I like Clemson this year. I think the ACC is going to be weak. They could pretty much roll through there. They do have a tough game in week one against, we just talked about this yesterday. Who does Clemson play in week one?
Oh, LSU.
LSU. So tough game in week one, Tigers on Tigers. But I think that they're going to roll through the ACC, and they've got a decent chance to make a run in the playoff.
I mean, the ACC is so weak. Like, yeah. Outside of Clemson, who's a contender in the ACC?
Yeah, like Florida State is not that good. Is there any other? I'm looking at this
Louisville,
top 25.
Maybe. Duke Miami, was when they had Elko.
Miami, if Carson Beck is okay.
They got a new corner coming in, allegedly.
They do, unless Wisconsin wins their lawsuit.
We talked a lot about that yesterday. Yeah. You did, too.
Great conversation. Yeah. Well, yeah, for a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, according to this Athlon Sports preseason top 25, Clemson and Miami are the only ACC teams in the top 25. But both are top 10 teams.
Yeah.
Other schools that maybe you don't think about a ton, like Arizona State made that big run at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. That could be a team in the Big 12 that maybe gets back to the playoff.
What about the Ponies? How much are they bringing back?
I believe Kevin Jennings is
back,
still
right?
there. They lost one or two guys on the defensive side of the ball. I have to go back and look a little bit more of their departures and arrivals, but I think
game comes out in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
you'll figure it out
exactly. Yeah, that's
are you running it back with the Pony Express?
Nah, you know, I started a little something at the end of 25 with Wyoming and. Something
Coach
about
Lyman began.
Yeah.
Really?
I was that's the offensive right, yeah. coordinator there before my storied career.
So I think maybe start small and go big, but maybe.
I thought you were going to Wisconsin from what you told me one time.
Yeah, maybe Wisconsin.
They got jump around.
Yeah. Cletus, my coach's name is Cletus. Cletus is going to make an approach at, you know, maybe a big school.
Cletus.
Yeah, Cletus. Yeah.
What's his last name?
I can't recall. I'd have to go back and look.
Can't recall or can't say?
No. I can't recall. Like, I just, memory, not great. But as for our conversation now, Nebraska. Watch out for Nebraska. Maybe Matt Rhule. Maybe Matt Rhule has something up his sleeve.
Mini Mahomes at quarterback.
Oh, God. I'm already tired of him.
Is he going to shave a goatee just because Mahomes has one now?
Yeah. Probably. I mean, the reason why I mentioned Nebraska is because, like, the hype that's around them, but at the same time, like, they put out a pretty decent product.
Yeah.
Like, offensively, that is.
I do need to figure out where I'm going to start in College Football 26. I just pre-ordered it during the break there. I'm looking at, like, you know, group of five teams, but fun group of five teams.
Yeah.
Maybe Sun Belt. Do we go if Coast? You know what? If Coastal Carolina wins the College World Series, that is where Coach Lyman is going to start.
Coach Newt's got to figure it out too, because allegedly Kentucky's a 79. So I will definitely probably start there with a file, but I want to do a file where, you know, you start as a coordinator.
Right.
I'm thinking low end Power Four, like a Georgia Tech or a West Virginia or something like that.
Yeah. It could be good.
Georgia Tech's another team to look at in the ACC.
Yeah. They, Haynes King's back, right?
Haynes King.
And Jalen Haynes, their running back. So Georgia Tech could be decent this year. The ACC just, I just don't have a whole lot of faith in
they're it. They're not, I mean, they're not going to win a championship.
They're going to be most likely a, I would say probably a two-bid league.
What do you think of Kansas this year?
Jalen Daniels is back, right? Their quarterback?
He reached a new deal.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, that gives you a chance because you have an experienced quarterback. But it just feels like Kansas always gets off to a decent start the last couple of years and then kind of falls off towards the end.
Kind of like BYU and Utah.
Right.
They always start
BYU, BYU looked like a lock to make the playoffs last year and then just fell apart down the stretch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, does Utah have Cam Rising back again?
No, Cam Rising is not playing college football anymore.
I thought he was going for his ninth year or something.
He has entered the workforce.
Good for him.
I believe.
Him and Zakai can work together.
Yeah.
Start throwing firm.
They need indeed. 615-737.
They do.
1025 is our phone number. When we come back, we're going to look at some Dark Horse Heisman candidates. I know there's a couple of names out there that are towards the top of the list. We'll look at the odds, see if there's any sneaking down there. Maybe a local guy who could end up sneaking his way into the Heisman conversation. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Be sure to tune into Totally Hits 93.3 tomorrow as the Nashville Cats take on the Southwest Kansas Storm in Clarksville in the AF1 semifinals at F&M Bank Arena. Pregame starts at 4 o'clock with Chase McCabe and Big Joe Duman. Kickoff is at 4:30, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits 93.3 app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. More college football talk coming after this here on Force Company, 102.5. 1063 the game. Force Company, 1025, 1063 the game. Halfway through the show on this Saturday morning. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman alongside you until noon. We're talking college football as we are just over 2 months away from getting back to football season. And we talked a little about national championship contenders there. Let's get into the Heisman odds. There are some quarterbacks at the top there. I mentioned Cade Klubnik for Clemson. He's up there towards the top, along with guys like Arch Manning, Garrett Nussmeier. Wide receiver Jeremiah Smith is in the conversation. Anybody else that you guys think could be up there competing for a possible Heisman Trophy when they do the ceremony in December?
Ryan Williams comes to mind for me.
Yep.
The youngster who is no longer 17. We can't make that joke anymore. It's very sad. But he is in the conversation.
Do you know he's only 18 years old?
Only?
Yep.
Wow. It is weird now. I'm at the age where a lot of these college players I'm older than, which has never happened before in the history of sports.
Welcome to the group, bub.
Yeah.
It's weird. It sucks.
It's weird. I don't like it. But yeah, Ryan Williams for me. I like Cade Klubnik a lot. You know what? I like Julian Sayin a lot.
Yeah,
Quarterback out of Ohio State. I think he's redshirt freshman, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so.
Youngster.
Drew Aller out of Penn State, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's an experienced guy coming back.
Dante Moore out of Oregon.
Yep. He is 10th in the odds, as I'm looking at it. There are two guys here right in between Aller and Moore that I like both of them. And I mentioned both these teams the other day. Lenore Sellers, DJ Lagway. I think those are both sleeper picks that both have all of the tools to have a huge season. Obviously, they have to execute, but I like both those guys as possible Heisman winners.
Where do we rank? This is going to be a fun question. Where do we rank Nico Iamaleava on the Heisman watch list? 83.
I think anytime you go out west, you just get forgotten about. And I just throw out 83 because it's a cool number.
I mean, I don't know how accurate these odds are. I'm just kind of looking. Nico Iamaleava is not only behind one Tennessee quarterback in the Heisman odds, he's behind two.
Merklinger and
Joey
Aguilar.
And Merklinger are both listed above Nico Iamaleava in Heisman odds.
That's funny.
But Nico is listed above, unless I missed him. Where's Diego?
Go, Diego, go.
I don't see Diego on here, actually.
Diego Pavia.
I think Diego, I'm not going to say I think he could win the Heisman, but, he had a great year last year. If things do go right for Vanderbilt this season, I don't see why he wouldn't be at least in the conversation.
I could see him winning, a Johnny Unitas Golden Arm award or something like that.
There he is.
I can see him winning some form of award. I don't know about Johnny.
Free ice cream from Logan's Roadhouse or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe maybe Bus One of the Boys gives him some sort of trophy.
God,
you know what I mean?
See, that's my beef with Bus One of the Boys. I can't do it. they want to be friends with everyone.
Yeah.
I'm please.
It's that locker room.
The other day, Pavia interview. It was, Will kept saying this. The city just needs a team to believe in. And Diego Pavia, you are the only man in the world that can make it happen. I was like, stop it. Please. God.
I mean, he did it last year, and the city did rally around a good amount.
I just think we're setting our expectations too high for Vanderbilt.
It's a good recruiting pitch. That's what it was to me.
Yeah, well, after this year, Vanderbilt's going to have the highest NIL collective in the entire nation, according to Diego Pavia.
I mean, they've got the money.
It's a football hotbed.
They're not going to let anyone in because, they hold their educational standards too high.
They'll find some smart athletes.
Well, so you look at their schedule. You open up against Charleston Southern. That's one win. Georgia State, I would hope that Vandy can get revenge for what happened in Atlanta last year. So that's two. Utah State should be three.
Oh, that was a good one, too, because I'm the only one that called that happening.
Yeah, that one, it was...
On Turner Field.
It was tough, too, because Vandy, they didn't play well most of the game, but came back, took the lead late, and it felt like they were going to escape with a win, and then it just gave up a drive at the very end. Georgia State took the win. I mean, if Vandy has a couple of things go their way against Georgia State, and then they lost in overtime to Missouri on that missed field goal, if they somehow win both those games, they're coming out of the Alabama game 6-0.
Yeah.
Undefeated, just beat the number one team in the country. They could have been a top 10 team if just one or two plays went their way in those Georgia State and Missouri games. Speaking of Missouri, I think that's one of the games in the SEC Vandy should be in. Mm-hmm. That's in Nashville. Missouri's not going to be quite as good this year. Auburn also should be one. Hate to say it, Kentucky should be one.
Yeah.
Right there, that's six. And... then if you can win one or two of the other ones that are going to be tough at Virginia Tech, that's a winnable game. It's a tough environment, but it's a winnable game. At South Carolina is going to be tough. At Alabama, at Texas. Those are tough road environments to go into against really good teams. Same with at Tennessee. LSU coming to Nashville. Maybe that's an upset. Vandy, if Pavia could get Vandy to 8-4 and he puts up good numbers... there's a chance he gets invited to New York.
Maybe.
I just don't think the record is going to reflect that.
For me, I feel like this year the quarterback production out of the NCAA, for me, it's just not as great as it was in years past.
Yeah.
Which I think would bring up the value of wide receivers like he's talking about Ryan Williams or a running back like Nick Singleton from Penn State.
Yeah.
For me, that's one of the big ones. And Jeremiah Love. Can't forget about him at Notre
Dame. Right, at Notre Dame.
Oh. So I think you're going to see a lot more of those skill positions be, I guess, in the running for Heisman.
This is a year where we could see a non-quarterback win it again.
Which I'm in favor of.
Me too.
I like that it's a non-quarterback exclusive award.
It should not be a quarterback-only award. And if Jeremiah Smith is the highest or the lowest odds for a non-quarterback, I think he has a really good shot to win it.
What are the odds a defensive player takes it home?
Yeah.
It'd have to be a remarkable season.
Yeah, you'd have... I mean, Travis Hunter, I guess, technically was a defensive player who won it.
But I'm talking a hard-nosed, defensive end.
When Ndamukong Suh was a finalist back in... was that 2009?
I think so.
08, 2009, somewhere in there. Maybe 2010. So, I don't know. It'd be tough to... you'd have to put up,
20 sack season.
Yeah,
easily.
'09, a historic season to get there defensively. But there, like Frazier was saying, there's plenty of skill position non-quarterbacks who could end up being at that ceremony in New York. Jeremiah Smith, Ryan Williams, Jeremiah Love, Nick Singleton. So it might be one of the years where it's the most wide open it's been in a while.
Which I like.
I like it too. Especially because even if it is a quarterback, it could be one of like 10 different quarterbacks.
Yeah. This is one of those years where you'll have years where you look at guys and you're like, oh, he's the best quarterback in the nation. I don't think there's that guy right now.
No, there's like five or six who you think could be. You've got Nussmeier, Arch Manning, Drew Aller, Cade Klubnik, DJ Lagway, Lenora Sellers. They're all kind of in the same tier. Who's going to separate themselves? Because not only could you win the Heisman, a lot of those guys, if you separate yourself, you're the number one overall pick next year.
Sorry, I'm fighting a thing.
You're okay.
Sorry.
I just like, whoa.
I'm sorry.
Scared you.
A little bit. I'm a startled guy. I get startled pretty quick.
I'm sorry. I'm fighting a thing. That's why I sound like Squidward today.
The suds?
No, but it's just like, you look at years past, like, there was Trevor Lawrence is by far the best quarterback in the nation. Joe Burrow, Marcus Mariota.
And Joe Burrow heading into his Heisman season was not right that way.
Yeah.
But as the season went on, we learned. But there's just not that guy this year. And that's why I think this season's so interesting, because with that, there's no true number one contender.
Yeah.
Like, maybe Ohio State will repeat. Texas is up there, Georgia, Alabama. But there's no, like, there in years past, you've kind of looked at, Alabama, this is their year. Like, I know it's the COVID season, but in 2020 and 2021, Alabama had by far the best roster in the entire country. And we looked at them like, this is their season to lose.
Somebody's going to have to get them. This year, it just feels like it's a big group of 10 to 15 teams.
Which I'm okay with a level playing field.
Right. I think it makes it more fun, especially with a 12-team playoff. If it is more competitive, those playoff games are going to be really fun.
Yeah, it will be. And I'm not trying to make a Titans twist to this, but maybe that's why they took Cam Ward number one overall, because of the quarterback production in college.
Right.
And we're talking about Heisman Trophy right now and saying it's a wide-open race for any skill position.
And that's kind of what we talked about when the question of should they draft Cam Ward or wait for next year? Who are you waiting for was the question. Because, Nussmeier looks like he's fine. Aller looks solid. Maybe Arch Manning is the guy that everyone hopes he's going to be. But none of those guys are sure things. It's not like Andrew Luck is waiting to come up next year. So,
man, if that were to happen,
Andrew Luck re-entering the NFL.
I mean, that'd be crazy.
What was that one video of the guy that drafted Andrew Luck in fantasy and then he retired an hour later?
Yeah.
Poor guy. He probably thought he was going to win the league.
Yeah.
I would have too, honestly.
That is tough. That's why you wait until after the preseason to do your fantasy drafts.
Yep.
Just a PSA.
Week of.
Yeah, it should be. Well, especially now there's the extra week in between. You've got plenty of time to get those fantasy drafts done. Just wait till after the preseason.
Yeah.
There's no need to rush.
There are guys that I know that they do a draft that's in like 7 to 9 days long.
What?
Do they do it like by hand? Like,
no.
Like an Excel spreadsheet?
No, it's on an app. And they go, oh, we're just, each pick's a day.
Are they doing full 53-man rosters?
They're doing four rounds.
I guess it's just one of those where you don't sit down and do it. You just do it as you please?
No. Some of these guys are picking their picks within like 15 minutes, but they're giving a full day's time, 24 hours, to make a pick.
See, wow. If your draft lasts more than 2 hours, you got a problem.
Yeah.
I'm not in this league, but I have a friend of mine that's in this league, and I'm like, buddy, we can just get one done in an afternoon. Like, it's no big deal.
I get it. Some of these guys, it's like, oh, we can't find a time that works for everybody, so let's just do it as you can, give as much time as you need, but man, those things will drag on. I'll start to forget
four
who I picked.
Rounds, and each of them are a day. A day.
Let's go quickly to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland wants to chime in on college football. Adam, good morning. What you got for us?
It's weird, man. Like, I've been listening to the whole show, and my head's bouncing all over the place. When you guys started talking about Pavia, like, I like them. Like, that was my favorite story maybe of my lifetime, watching that last year, like, a football. And I like seeing Vanderbilt do well. I got a bad feeling that Alabama's going to bounce back really hard this year. and Vandy has to go to Tuscaloosa. And I was hoping you guys could talk about that a little bit. Like, have you ever seen a team that's going to want to stomp another team as bad as Alabama's going to want to do that to Vanderbilt? Because they destroyed them. Like mentally, I think that took the whole season away from Alabama after they lost to Vanderbilt. I don't think anybody could argue that. But I'm trying to imagine the atmosphere when Vanderbilt rolls into Tuscaloosa. Like, that's going to be insane, dude. I fear for those Vandy players. I think it's going to be a 70-point game, dude. Like, I think it's going to be back one of those Alabama-Vandy games of old, man. I don't know. I just feel like there something happened, and Alabama is not going to repeat that. And Caleb DeBoer, dude, people can say it all they want. He's not a sorry coach. Like, I think he was put in a bad situation following Saban. Like, nobody could have followed him. I think they're going to be a good team again. I don't even like Alabama, I promise. But, like, I got a gut feeling that people are going to forget them, and they're going to be really good this year.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Adam. Yeah, it's tough. The motivation for Alabama in that game, Vandy's going to have to show up because the Crimson Tide are going to want their revenge after what happened last year. And I think Alabama is going to be good. A lot of it's going to depend on the quarterback position because Ty Simpson is unproven.
Mm.
But he is a former five-star recruit for a reason. So,
you know what I think they should do? The day before the game, I think they should shoot a video of Diego Pavia, and it's just him saying, "You come to our house, we'll show you how to play SEC ball. Alabama, you're next." And then we see what happens.
You know, yeah.
It worked well last time.
You're just asking for it at that point. I mean,
was it Jalen Hurts? Yeah, I guess
he
we
said
are,
theoretically we are next on their schedule. And then they won, what, 70?
Yeah, Sandy should just go to practice and just play a bunch of elephant noises. Because that's what Alabama does every time they score. They play that elephant noise, you know what I'm talking about?
Great fight song, by the way. Yeah. Underrated.
That was Big Joe's question, right? Like, Big Joe was on the sideline talking to the Vandy player who said that.
Oh, yeah. Alabama, you're next.
Yeah.
That was Joe?
Yeah, that was Big Joe.
That was Big Joe.
Yeah, I feel like I remember hearing that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in, you can text or call. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, it is the second edition of Frazier's Files. We're going to let Nick Frazier just talk about whatever he wants for the next 15 minutes.
It's his rebuttal.
Yes. Darts is a sport,
darts
ladies and gentlemen.
Darts is a sport. Forest Company here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. I love it. Law and Order.
Yeah.
So, Frazier's Files, Episode 2.
I'm digging this.
And it's nice.
It's not bad.
It's the Frazier Files.
Oh, wow. We've got vocals, too.
Please.
Never
no.
Get that dubbed. Thank you, woman. I want that as my ringtone.
That actually was pretty funny.
Yeah,
Jake Live and Connor Newt, Jake Wallman. This is Nick Frazier's segment. Go ahead, Nick.
I'm going to just my rebuttal statement earlier. Darts is a sport.
Okay.
All right. It is recognized.
You're wrong, but okay.
It is recognized by multiple sport commissions.
It's okay to be wrong.
Well, I mean, I'm just stating facts here. I mean, y'all can deny facts. I'm cool with that. What? You okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm all fine. Right.
Perfect. Darts is a sport just like Major League Eating. I think Major League Eating is also a sport.
How can you say that?
Are you kidding me?
What about it is? What about it is a sport?
Putting on a head contraption that makes your jaw muscles stronger. That's why Joey Jaws Chestnut for the nickname. But he just takes food and just shoves it down his gullet, and he's able to eat it and not have any repercussions.
So you're saying if I go to an IHOP,
yes,
and eat 24 pancakes in 24 hours, I am therefore an athlete.
I am an athlete.
If something is regulated, if it's for some
purpose.
If
you're competing, so like if me and Connor both went to an IHOP and said, who can finish 24 pancakes first, that's a sport?
I would recognize that as a sport.
Really?
I would recognize that as a sport. I think, honestly, if you go to a commission, a local sports commission, and say, hey, I would like to legalize this or make this some form of a sport, if they give you the paperwork and they sign off on it, all right, I'm cool with it.
I'm just for
the fun of it.
I'm going to love watching the 4th of July, Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Like it's an American tradition. It's great. It's not a sport though.
All right, we'll disagree because I'm just gonna have to agree to disagree. I'm a foodie. Everybody knows I love food. I think competitive eating is a sport 100%. I'm going to stand on that hill.
I just can't get behind that. I mean,
and it's not just hot dog eating. They do ice cream competitions. pizza competitions, nachos.
I'm gonna start saying that when I take cheat days.
Are you drinking mineral water? I just noticed this.
This is
San Pellegrino.
It's Pellegrino, baby.
Oh, he's fancy.
I like a little bubbly to have my day going, man. Helps out.
I'm gonna start telling Tatum, like, hey, I'm gonna eat this whole pizza. Don't worry.
Time me.
I'm an athlete.
It's for the training.
I'm training. The calories don't count.
And you put your sweatband on and just go to work?
Yeah, exactly.
You tell her, you say, listen, time me. If it's under 5 minutes, I'm ready for the competition.
Okay.
That's what that means.
You can say that about a lot of things.
Well, I mean, for food specifically, though, because if you don't, then what are you training for? You get what I'm saying?
Greatness.
I mean, I guess that's true. It's like, I have to...
You know who really considers eating to be a sport? Hmm. Tony the Tiger.
All right, hang on. You actually make a good sport. You mentioned Tony. What, Tony Hawk, skateboarding. Is that considered a sport?
No. What is the
because
sport? How many people know what entails...
X Games. Hang on. X Games, it's regulated.
It's called X Games, not X Sport.
It's a competition. I wouldn't call it a sport.
Wow. Yep.
All right, so like, I feel like we're getting into some more murky waters here because like, there's a lot of competition in the Olympics too,
and none of them are sports.
A lot of them are sports.
Synchronized swimming.
Synchronized swimming is not a sport. Diving is not a sport.
It's a like it takes a lot of skill. Like I don't want when I say like it's not a sport. I'm not trying to take away anything from these athletes because they're all very impressive.
Unless it's esports.
Three-on-three basketball.
That's a sport. Yeah.
Then why'd they get rid of it?
I don't know. Just
because Jimmer Fredette balled too hard.
Just because it's in the Olympics doesn't mean it's a sport.
Okay.
But just because it's a sport doesn't mean it's in the Olympics.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that, because darts I don't believe is in the Olympics.
But
No, thank you. Thank you.
Damn darts. Stop going back to it.
Well, I mean, he's building my case for me. I appreciate it. I mean, that's the best way to say it.
No, but I said because it's not – just because it's not in the Olympics doesn't mean it's not a sport. But
okay, what about –
there are a lot of things that aren't in the Olympics.
I know, but I did that on purpose because I know I'd set you up for it.
Frazier.
Yes.
What about the Ocho?
What about it? It's great.
Is slippery stairs a sport?
Is professional pillow fighting a sport?
Absolutely not.
What about robot fighting?
Battle bots,
is that a
great
sport?
Great TV show? No. No. I mean, you guys can go through the list. We can do this because I will tell you yes or no.
I love how you totally had something planned for
yes,
this. And
I
then
did.
I just threw
do you want,
it
Do you want
wrong.
To get to that? Or are you just all in on
I'm all in
sport,
on
not a sport?
Yeah, I'm all in for it. It's great conversation.
This is how you know this is like our 6 hour of radio in the past 2 days.
I know.
Well, we're going off the rails.
I mean, what are some other sports out there that are sports? I mean, handball. You guys consider handball
a sport?
Tetherball?
Yeah.
No.
Ultimate Frisbee? That's a sport.
What about disc golf?
No.
I'll go... I just don't know
golf.
How... I don't know how I could say that golf is a sport and disc golf isn't, right?
That's true.
I guess, you know...
Look, it's you.
The swing is...
Thank you.
The Dos Equis, man.
The swing is more athletic than the Frisbee toss.
You could get Tommy John's with this, man.
That's true. That's true.
Ultimate Frisbee is a sport.
Dodgeball.
Dodgeball's a sport.
Okay.
No, I think it's just a game.
Oh, there's a disagreement on one side of the board.
No, I think it's a sport.
Wow.
I would throw that in the category of freeze tag. It's just a game.
A ball's involved, though.
That is true.
Yeah, you did say a ball or a puck.
As Joe said to Parker Kelly the other day, you're contradicting yourself, man.
This is kind of like, guys just sitting around naming random athletes from the 2000s. That's kind of what we've
gotten into here. Which is what we'll be
doing, yes.
Oh, yes, that's true.
We will be doing that next hour.
Our next segment, I'm excited for this. I guess we're almost ready for the break. Our next segment, we talked about this last week, and we're going to try and make this a staple. We're going to kind of see how it goes. But we're going to do a Where Are They Now segment at 11 a.m. every Saturday. We're going to rotate who gets to pick the players. I have the players, and I really like the three that I picked. I think there's a chance
I think
guys...
we need to set some ground rules, though.
Okay, what do you think?
They must be active.
Okay, yep.
They must be in one of the major leagues.
No.
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 I don't know... Players on the Birmingham Stallions?
Oh, okay, so mine are all over the place if you wanted that.
Let's just test the waters.
Let's test the waters, and we can make adjustments as we go. But that's coming up next. We're going to do Where Are They Now? I have picked three players who at some point did play major college or professional sports in the United States. You guys will know the names, I think. At least two of you guys will know the names. And they have to guess, where are they now? I will even take, like, what league they're in. Because it's tough to guess what team they're going to be on. But we'll see how this goes. And we're going to have to make adjustments on a week-to-week basis. But every week, one of us will pick the three players. The others have to guess. Do we want to keep score on this thing?
Let's do it like celebrity birthday style.
Let's turn into a sport.
Okay.
So, shall we?
How about this? We're making
Jeopardy a sport?
We're making the rules up as we go on the air. This is just great radio.
Sounds like Brian Callahan.
If you can guess the league they're in, that's 1 point. If you guess the team, it's two. All right?
Okay.
All right, that's coming up next. We're going to do Where Are They Now, a new segment here on Forrest Company as we kick off hour number three on this Saturday. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman, Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.